Greeny with Mike Greenberg, the podcast.
Yes, you can. Greeny with you, presented by Progressive Insurance. Jam-packed we are. Plenty of football and baseball conversation so far this morning. Got to get to a little hoops in this hour as well. And we will have plenty of time for your calls. I'll tell you when to give us a call. Be about a half hour from now, and we will take your usual Monday hot takes. But we're going to circle back to the football conversation here. We'll do I'm Sorry What.
I'm sorry what?
I'm sorry what?
I'm sorry what?
I'm sorry what?
With the assembled members of the hashtag crew around me, we will do I'm Sorry What, which are interesting people saying interesting things. Tom Brady's team stinks. I cannot overemphasize the fact that they lost this game to Carolina yesterday. There's never been a get-right game on a schedule better than this one. The Panthers fired their coach. They traded away their best player. They're playing without their starting quarterback and their backup quarterback, and they kicked the living stuffing out of Brady's Bucks yesterday, 21-3, and it wasn't really that close. Here was Tampa Tom after.
No one feels good about where we're at. No one feels good about how we played or what we're doing, so we're all in it together, man. We got to go pour ourselves out of it.
Here's the thing. He doesn't look right. He doesn't look right on the field. He doesn't look right at the podium. He doesn't look right. And he is a person who has made himself what he is primarily by putting every ounce of himself into the job. And that's hard to do. And it feels now like he's not able to do that. And there has been some evidence of that. The time he missed in training camp, the wedding that he went to. He's a person with shifting priorities in his life, and there isn't anything at all wrong with that. You can be an NFL color analyst on games, which he's going to be, and have a full life. I do not think you can be the greatest quarterback of all time and have a full life. Everyone around you has to live their lives for you. See, here, I'll give you a quick story. Here's what this makes me think of. And obviously, Tom Brady and I have almost nothing in common, but we actually have this in common. So when I first got hired to do the radio show with Mike, I recognized I wasn't a famous person. I wasn't whatever it is I am now by any means. I was just a guy trying to make it in a very crowded business that a lot of other people wanted to make it in. And I was young and newly married. And I said to my wife, I think we can turn this into something special, but we're going to have to sort of tailor our lives around it. Like, life is going to have to be built around making sure I can be the best I can be on this show. That means the hours that we do things. It means when we do and don't go out. Like, I had to get up at 3:45 in the morning. And you have to build your life around that. You have to make a commitment to that. And we did it, and it worked. I didn't do it. We did it. But there was one very simple reason. We didn't have a choice. Like, if we wanted to have the kind of life of which we could at that moment only dream, we needed that to work. If you get to a place where they got Brady and Giselle, where you don't need to do it anymore, they have all the money you could ever possibly imagine, and then some. You have accomplished more than any other player doing it has ever accomplished. You are now really doing it just because you want to. And there's a big difference between wanting to and needing to. And as a consequence of all of that, I can see where there is this agony in him. Like, he's in agony right now as a human being, not as a football player, but as a human being. And that is causing at least part of what we are seeing from Tampa. Now, it isn't the reason their defense stinks, and it isn't a reason for a lot of other things. But that's what I see when I look at Tom Brady right now. And if it's possible to feel a little sorry for a person who has everything in life you could ever imagine, and then some, I actually kind of do. His is not an easy life right now. And I'm sure he will get everything back together again, because down deep inside, I think he's a good guy. He's from a good family. He'll get his stuff together, however it is he does that. But right now, he's in a bad place, and I do not think that he and his team will be able to get it back together again in time to save this season. Now, they still may wind up winning that division almost by default, but they do not look like they're ready to be a championship-caliber team or anything close to it. So that is our first stop on I'm Sorry What. The next is from Aaron Rodgers. After the Packers, somewhat less stunning, but still kind of shocking loss to Washington yesterday, and for them to have played the month they've just played. Since they beat Brady and the Bucks, they should have lost at home to New England and Bailey Zappi. Then they went on the road to London and lost to the Giants, and they came home and got obliterated by the Jets. And then yesterday, they lose to Washington and Taylor Heinicke. Aaron Rodgers was asked, can you see yourself still getting something done? Are you still confident in this team? And he said,
right, it does. I'm not worried about this squad. In fact, this might be the best thing for us this week. You know, nobody's going to give us a chance. Going to Buffalo and Sunday Night Football, the chance to get exposed, shoot, might be the best thing for us.
So he's sending a message to his team. That's what good leaders do, and he's doing it. I admire Rodgers saying that. Nothing could be further from the case. It is actually the worst possible thing that could be happening to them is that they have to play Buffalo this week. Because Buffalo's the best team in the NFL, and the Packers are busy losing to a lot of teams who are not. And they look just terrible. And they are a 10.5-point underdog in this game. It is the biggest spread that Rodgers has ever faced. He has never started a game as a double-digit underdog in his career. 234 starts, regular season and playoffs. Most by any quarterback in history to never be a double-digit underdog. Or the most in the Super Bowl era, anyway. Which goes back to the late 60s. But they are going to get shellacked on Sunday night. Shellacked. And at that point, they're going to be 3-5. And what he doesn't have going for him is the division. Because the Vikings are pretty good. I don't think they're great, but they're pretty good. So I admire what Rodgers is trying to do. He's trying to pump up his team and pump up his teammates and everything else. But the idea that the best thing that could happen to them is going to Buffalo this weekend. Let's say at the very least, I don't agree with it. This is Greeny coming to you live above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. We've talked a lot about Daniel Jones today. So Daniel Jones, in the moment that Marcus Johnson dropped a fourth down pass, the Giants dropped balls on Daniel Jones all day long yesterday. Tom Brady would have been punching guys on the sideline. You know how Tom Brady goes after the linemen and everything? Tom Brady would have lost his ever-loving mind on the sideline. I didn't mind at all that Daniel Jones showed frustration in that moment. Because those receivers tried to give that game away on them yesterday. Daniel Jones is the kind of person who, after the game, apologized for showing his frustration.
You know, heat of the moment you know, I wish I could have that situation back. You know, I pride myself on being composed in those situations. And, yeah, I wasn't there. So, you know, I got full faith and confidence in the world and in Marcus. You know, disappointed I let that happen.
Hell with that. That's the only thing Daniel Jones did all day yesterday. Don't like. Catch the freaking ball. I'm watching that game, and I'm kind of rooting for the Giants. Again, I'm not an anti-Giant person. I do not root against the Giants. A lot of people expect me to because I'm a Jet fan. I've never considered the Giants a rival. I like them. I like this kid, Daniel Jones. See, I was in on Daniel Jones before the world was in on Daniel Jones. You know why? Because I went to Northwestern. If you went to Northwestern, you knew who Daniel Jones was. Daniel Jones destroyed us twice at Duke. So when everyone was like, who is this Daniel Jones in the draft process? You didn't have to tell me who he was. I knew who Daniel Jones was, and he's a good player. And he was playing his behind off yesterday. And he's running, and he's throwing good passes, and his guys are dropping the ball on him left and right. I would have had no problem with him walking directly up to Marcus Johnson and saying, catch the freaking ball next time I throw it to you, or I won't. That's what quarterbacks do. I don't have an issue with it. Nuno, you have any issue with him showing frustration on the field or on this? I noticed it on the field. Like in the moment the ball was dropped, you could see him. He's like, catch the ball. I have no issue with that whatsoever. Do you?
No, it actually shows that he's engaged and he's taking that step as becoming a leader. Like, hey, do your job.
So that was his apology for that is the only thing he did yesterday I didn't like. He's good. I'm telling you right now, he's way better than people think. Because people don't watch the games and they just think, oh, how are they? And they're not giving up a lot of points. And he's good. He's playing well. We have to get this out of our heads. See, expectations are everything in life, right? So Baker Mayfield was the first pick in the draft. So those are the expectations. And he's never going to be that, so he will never live up to what he was supposed to be. And Tom Brady, well, bad example because he's the greatest player of all time. Russell Wilson was a third-round pick. no one expected anything from him. So when he became a really good player, people were like, wow, this guy is fantastic. Daniel Jones, the sixth pick in the draft. Take that out of your head. It's a sunken cost. You're never undoing that. So just judge him based on what he is. He's good. I don't know if he has the potential to be great, but I'm actually not willing to acknowledge at this point, watching him now, that he can't be really good, that he cannot be an above-average NFL quarterback. That doesn't mean he's going to be top five, but could he be the 12th best quarterback in the NFL? Absolutely. And can you win a championship with the 12th best quarterback in the NFL? I think you can.
Right now, Daniel Jones is, according to our metrics, the sixth best quarterback in the NFL. His QBR, scaled 0 to 100, is 63. That is sixth in the NFL. And I don't like the public commentary that rips him for his shortcomings throwing the football, not just because he doesn't have many weapons to throw the ball to, but because he adds so much value as a runner. Those yards count too. Like, if we're going to give Lamar Jackson and Jalen Hurts all the credit in the world for being dual threat quarterbacks, why aren't we willing to do so for Aaron Jones?
Daniel Jones.
It's a huge reason why his QBR is so high, but those yards and those first downs and those touchdowns count too. I think it's time to give him his flowers.
I totally agree. Starting Stronger starts at AutoZone, where they've got battery solutions in the form of free battery testing, free battery charging, and replacement batteries that fit your needs. That's what makes them America's number one battery destination. Get in the zone with AutoZone. Nuno's notes are on the way, and then I'll tell you when to call. We'll get your hot takes in here. We are busy on this Monday. Come on back on ESPN Radio.
Greeny, the podcast.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We all go through things socially where we don't feel like ourselves, where we don't feel like going out, where we feel drained, or we're not bursting with energy. And when you're not feeling right, that's where BetterHelp can come in. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills, how to set boundaries in so many different ways, for which it empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who experience major trauma. Therapy is for more than those people, and it's there to help you. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. It's there for you. It's there to help you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Greeny, G-R-E-E-N-Y, today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Greeny.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. All right, Greeny with you here on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Going to open up the phones to you in just a few minutes. We'll do Nuno's notes coming up here, as we will see what he put in the Google Doc today. Haven't heard a whole lot from Hembo. Excuse me, we've heard too much from Hembo. We haven't heard a lot from Bubba today, I just realized. So, Bubba, let me get a quick take from you on the return of Dak yesterday. What jersey? It's a Dak jersey you have on there. Usually wears the Micah Parsons.
First time in a while.
Micah Parsons made the play of the day yesterday. Oh. So Dak was fine. He came back. They won a game. If anyone who didn't watch Cowboys-Lions yesterday, that game was a lot closer than the final score.
Oh, for sure.
Would make you think. Micah Parsons made the biggest play of the game yesterday. Anyone who didn't see it, the Lions are going to score a touchdown that's going to put them ahead in the fourth quarter. Micah Parsons comes from what felt like 50 yards away and chases down the tight end and tackles him on the 1 yard line. And that's what set up Detroit fumbling on the one. And they never got back into it. And the Cowboys then put the game away. But that kid, Micah Parsons, Bubba, is so ridiculously special to watch. You're not old enough to have seen Lawrence Taylor play. And
I saw him, yeah.
You do? You remember LT?
Yeah.
What year were you born?
84.
All right, so you don't remember LT. I mean, what are you, 84?
What are you talking about?
What was his last year, like 92, 93? How long did he play? Lawrence Taylor was drafted in 1982, I think. He was
93.
So he finished his career when you were, what, 9 years old? Like, you don't.
What do you think I was doing? I was watching sports.
Yeah, okay, well, whatever. My point is this. Watching Lawrence Taylor at his best, when with the 86 Giants.
All right, I didn't see his rookie year, sorry.
He was the best defensive rookie that ever lived, and he was the best. In 86, he was the single best defensive player that ever lived. I will never compare anybody to him, or I can't imagine I'm going to. But this guy's what it looked like. He can do anything on the field, and on every single play, you're just watching him. And he's doing things you can't believe. He is running people down. That's what it's all about. The physical gift. He's so freaking fast. That kid, Micah Parsons. Go ahead, Bob. I did not mean to shortchange your Lawrence Taylor knowledge. But go ahead. Give me your takeaways on Cowboys yesterday, in particular Dak.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, the defense clearly carried him. And then the score was 24-6. But as you mentioned, it was way closer than that. But, I mean, I look at these two games, this one and the Bears next week, is essentially just extended preseason games for Dak. So the offense needs a lot to work on, come back. But I'm not worried or anything. It's fine. Just get Dak comfortable. He seemed healthy. He just needs to get reps with the offense and, you know, another week with the Bears. Then we'll get into a tougher schedule. So feeling confident. Defense was great. And, no issue. And we had a discussion with Kenny and Carlin last week where they were debating, should they keep Dak, keep him resting until the bye week? And I think, no, this is the reason why you got to play him, so he can get the game action.
So long as he's not under any greater risk of injuring the thumb, which they obviously feel he is not. By the way, you mentioned the Bears. They play tonight. Bears-Pats. Let's do a Monday Night Football preview brought to you by Progressive. Progressive Insurance gives you protection on the phone, online, or on the app 24/7 because things happen 24/7. Quote at progressive.com. The number on that game last I saw was 10.5?
It's down to 8.5. -8.5.
Okay, maybe I had that. Maybe it was always 8.5. It was the Packers who were 10.5 point underdogs. Sorry. So the number is 8.5. Is there any conceivable reason to think the Bears are going to make this a game tonight? Is the public all over New England?
Yes, that would be the only reason.
What are the numbers?
78% of public bets are on New England.
All right, New England. That tells you that the Bears are going to cover tonight. Mm-hmm. By the way, is it going to be Mac Jones or Bailey Zappe?
It's going to be Bailey Zappe, right? I mean, they're doing this weird thing with Mac Jones every week, but
they keep talking about Mac Jones. Everything I feel like I'm hearing out of there is that Mac Jones may play. Well, we'll see. One way or another, you know what's going to happen, regardless of tonight's outcome. When New England comes to play the Jets next week, the Jets will enter the game with a better record. Do you know the last time the Jets had a better record than the Patriots entering a matchup? The last time those two teams played each other, this is one of the most incredible statistics that I've ever seen. The last time the Jets and Patriots played each other, bear in mind, they're in the same division. They play each other twice a year, every year. Brandon is across the room. He's a Jet fan. Do you know the last thing? Just throw out a year to me you think it happened. They can play anytime. Well, he said 1991. I mean, come on, that'd be ridiculous. It's 30 years. They've never had a better record than them in 30 years. You know the Jets were really good in the late 90s and the Patriots were not. But the point is, the year is 2001. Oh. Week 12, Tom Brady's 10th career start. Do you know what else happened that year? The Patriots won the Super Bowl. The Jets' streak of 40 straight head-to-head matchups without a better winning percentage is the second longest in NFL history, second only to the Giants and the Cowboys. They played 41 games in a row in which the Cowboys had a better record than the Giants from 1966 to 1988. Which is almost impossible to believe when you consider that the Giants won the Super Bowl during that stretch as well. But the Cowboys were just always way better than them. Speaking of the Jets, they won. We talked about Breece Hall a little bit earlier today. I do have a soundbite here from Zach Wilson. He really struggled, but he didn't make the critical mistake yesterday. He came close, but he did not make the critical mistake that would have given away a game that their defense was going to win for them all day long. Here was Zach on his message to his teammates in the huddle after all the injuries they've had.
Yeah, I mean, I said a little something there in the huddle. I mean, I don't feel like I need to, but I said a little something, you know, take advantage of this opportunity, step up, you know. Time to grow a pair, I think is what I said, which I don't know if I should tell you guys that. But, you know, I think the guys got the message. The guys stepped up. Like, you know, this is my opportunity. It's where you know, more money and playing time and things come for people is in those opportunities.
Well, I guess that's a good what did he say? I had a little trouble, to be completely honest with you, understanding what he was saying in the middle there. What was he laughing about?
The joke he made was that he said, it's time to grow a pair, I believe, was the exact quote. Oh. You had that right, Nuno? I think that was his quip.
I don't know. I mean, unless it's a pair of Breece Halls, and then yesterday they also lose Elijah Vera Tucker. They're playing the game without Elijah Moore, which was infuriating when Corey Davis goes down. So it is almost impossible not to be furious at him. But one way or another, as I said before, that was a game the Jets always lose. I mean, all of my life. Excuse me. I'm going to sneeze.
By the way, I've got that look ahead. I've got that look ahead line for next week. Patriots, Jets. I want you to guess what that number is.
Oh, the Patriots are going to be favored. I'm going to say the Patriots are favored. This is at the Jets. Mm-hmm. The Patriots are going to be favored by 2.5 points.
1.5.
Yeah.
Still no confidence in the Jets out there.
Well.
Still none.
I mean, they've just lost their best offensive player. The quarterback he's the last couple of weeks, he has not looked good. He hasn't made the big mistake. And that's a really good defense they played yesterday. But look, I'm not blind. I mean, I'm a believer in Zach Wilson and I'm a believer in what they're doing now, but I'm not blind. I can see it. Every time he throws a pass, you're scared to death. So let's hope. But he's still a kid. And it's just starting. And he also missed so much of training camp and the entire preseason. So he's kind of working his way back in there. And the offensive line has got a lot of injuries, and so there's a lot of question marks there. So I'm by no means down on the quarterback, but I understand why the Patriots would be favored in that game.
Our numbers actually are starting to view the Jets a little bit more favorably. Right now, FPI gives the Jets a 61% chance to make the playoffs. When they map out all the possible scenarios, the likeliest scenario for the Jets is to be the 5 seed and to play Tennessee in the first round of the playoffs.
How much does that take into account injuries? Like, does that take into account the Breece Hall injury?
It doesn't take into account running back injuries because running back injuries don't really impact winning.
Well, but then they haven't seen Breece Hall play.
I'm willing to bet you that this injury impacts the Jets much less than you think it might.
Now, I'm willing to take that bet.
All right.
The kid is special, and he is, right now the whole offense is built around him. The reason you say that is because generally quarterbacks are the most important of an offense. But right now, the Jets this year, that has not been the case. That kid has been the most important part of the offense, and they're going to need him. That said, we'll see where it all winds up going from here. All right, let's open up the phone lines. We've done a lot of talking today. I want to hear from the hot takes. We also have some of Nuno's notes that we will get to coming up, but I also want to get in your calls, your hot takes. My number is 888-SAY-ESPN. That's 888-729-3776. Your hot takes coming off of a weekend in which we had all of the football. We had the baseball World Series get set. We got the NBA up and running. Anything you want to call about, if you can get through Nuno, you can get on the air.
Greeny, the podcast.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
All right, we are rolling along here on ESPN Radio. I've mentioned it multiple times today. There is no one more obnoxious when his teams are doing well than Hembo. And you brought that fire with you today. Hembo told us that this was the holy trinity of his sports fandom this weekend because A, the Phillies won, B, the Yankees got swept, and C, Carson Wentz's backup won a big game in the NFL, beating Aaron Rodgers. Which of those three brought your Philly soul the most pleasure this weekend?
Well, my Philly soul was brought the most pleasure by the Taylor Heinicke win, believe it or not. That's how masochistic I am as a fan. Like, obviously, watching Bryce Harper hit a home run in the eighth inning to send the Phillies to the World Series brought me great joy. But I got more of a dopamine rush seeing Taylor Heinicke celebrating with Carson Wentz on the sideline, with Carson Wentz holding a clipboard, far more than any other person in the world should have felt excitement towards that.
Is Heinicke going to keep that job? Like, the number of times I've asked the question, is Taylor Heinicke capable of being a starting NFL quarterback, suggests he isn't, because we've had this conversation so many times before.
I'll say this. Taylor Heinicke gave the Bucs defense more trouble than any of the teams that they faced in the 2020 playoffs. Taylor Heinicke demonstrated yesterday that he has answers for pressure. He was pressured 15 times in the game and took one sack. Washington entered the game having allowed more sacks than any team in the NFL because Carson Wentz doesn't have the kind of clock in his head to be able to get rid of the football. They're going to be way better. I don't know if they'll be able to make up enough ground to make the playoffs, but Taylor Heinicke is the best quarterback on the Commanders, and it's not close.
That's fair, but it doesn't necessarily answer my question, which is to say, to be better than Carson Wentz doesn't necessarily mean you are ready to be an NFL starting quarterback. Look, this is it for Wentz. The end of the line for Carson Wentz has come. That's clear. The question is, I feel like if Taylor Heinicke was going to become the quarterback of Washington, he would already be.
Maybe so. Ron Rivera obviously doesn't much believe in him, but he's not really given much of an option now because Carson Wentz did get hurt. I mean, that Packers defense is obviously very average, but he played pretty well. He made some good throws. He's demonstrated that he has an idea what he's doing out there. I think he's going to string a couple wins together and surprise a lot of people. I ran through the numbers last week. Carson Wentz's teams, 100% of the time, get better after he gets hurt. This team's going to be no exception.
Yeah, he went to Old Dominion. Like, Taylor Heinicke is just a player. No one came out of nowhere to become more famous for far less clear reasons than Taylor Heinicke has, right? A big part of it is just his name.
Yeah.
It's so memorable.
Yeah.
Like, you can't forget. You never think, who's the backup? And you know it's Heinicke. Like, that's the one thing you know for certain. All right. We continue in 15 seconds. That just tickled me. All right, my name is Greeny, and my number is 888-SAY-ESPN. That's 888-729-3776. The time has come for your hot takes here on ESPN Radio. We still have Nuno's notes to get to. I have a note on the Lakers I'd like to get in before we wrap up for the day because, boy, do they stink on ice. And a few other things. But on these Mondays, I do like to take your hot takes. So this is your chance to be a part of Greeny Nation on the Dr. Pepper call-in line, ESPN Nation, presented by Dr. Pepper. It ain't college football season without the delicious taste of an ice-cold Dr. Pepper, the one that fans deserve. But the takes today can come from football, college, or pro. They can come from the baseball playoffs. They can come from the basketball or anything you want. So, Bubba, who is our first today?
We'll start with Scott.
All right, Scott, you're on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. Give us a hot take, Scott. Go.
My hot take is to say, first, good morning, fellas. But listen, my hot take is that when the Giants meet Dallas next time, it's going to be drag out. But I think 27-24 for the Giants because I'm a Giant fan. I'm arguing with my Dallas people here at work this morning. So that's my hot take. Listen, I think we're going to get them 27-24.
And that would be on Thanksgiving. So for those of you who are not following this, again, the Giants with a remarkable little season they have going. And, Scott, thank you for the phone call. The Giants have what feel like three winnable games. Now, suddenly St. Louis doesn't feel quite so winnable, or at least – did I say St. Louis?
Seattle?
I meant Seattle, sorry. with Geno Smith. I was busy scrolling as I was talking to get back to the Giants schedule. They go to Seattle this week with Geno. And that's a revenge game too, right? Geno and the whole thing with the Giants. It's a revenge game for Geno, I mean. Like, Geno was the guy that they started. What's his name? No, his name just jumped in my head. What was the coach again? The schleppy-looking coach who
Ben benched McAdoo?
Eli? Ben McAdoo.
Geno, yeah. He was the one that ended Eli's streak.
Eli's streak. That's who he put out there. So the two most famous things that Geno had in his career were getting punched in the face by his teammate as a Jet and then replacing the benched Eli Manning and having Manning's streak come to an end by Ben McAdoo, who got fired for that. So, like, those were his lot in life. And then being Russell Wilson's backup, and we all forgot him. And now here he's playing great. Geno Smith is playing great. That said, this certainly is a game the Giants could win. They've beaten better teams. Then they get the Texans and the Lions back-to-back. They could go into that game with Dallas. It's not inconceivable. They could go into that game with Dallas 9-1.
This fourth quarter magic the Giants are pulling out every single week is remarkable. So the Giants have won 6 games. They have been outscored in the first 3 quarters of those games. They're plus 43 in the fourth quarter. What they're doing late in games is unbelievable. Brian Daboll must be doing some sort of voodoo magic during halftime. It's crazy.
You know what? Because his team doesn't beat itself. They don't make big mistakes. They wear you down with their running game because that starts to matter late in games as defenses get tired. Yeah. Saquon, Daniel Jones. Giants are a team. They are good, and they're getting better. Bubba, who's next?
We're going to go to Josh.
All right, Josh, you're on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. Give me a hot take, Josh.
Hot take. Thanks for taking my call. I'm a New Orleans Saints fan. Our front office is the worst in the league. Mickey Loomis gave out Michael Thomas the worst contract behind Albert Haynesworth ever. We have a tight end who doesn't play tight end. He's making $40 million a year, and I don't understand how the Panthers are one game behind us. This is horrible. I'm a homer, but our team, Drew Brees, was falling off, and we decided to give out all these contracts to keep him upright, and now we're horrible. Thank you very much. Joe Flacco has more playoff wins than Drew Brees.
Are you sure you're a Saints fan? If you're down on Brees, like, I get being down on the team right now, but it's kind of tough, I would think, to be down on Brees. Here's where I thought, when I first heard the caller is from someone who's a Saints fan, the first thing I thought I was going to hear was they're going to win that division. And, oh, by the way, they might. They only have 2 wins, but one of them is in the division. They beat Atlanta. So they have played 2 division. Now, they actually lost to Carolina. That was Carolina's other win. So they're 1-2 in the division. But still, right now, first place in your division is 3-4. New Orleans still has a chance to make some sort of comeback. They're all hurt. I mean, they're always hurt. Winston is always hurt. Michael Thomas is always hurt. Kamara, it feels like to me, is hurt a lot. All the guys on that team, you know, are always hurt.
But this is the Saints going for it. The Saints traded their first-round pick next year to get Chris Olave, the receiver from Ohio State. Right now, the Saints are in line to have the 7th pick in the draft. They don't have the pick.
Right.
The Eagles have the pick. It's now or never for the New Orleans Saints.
Yeah, I like Olave, too, but still. No, I'm with you. They're a win-now team, and they're not winning now. So that is obviously a major problem. Greeny on ESPN Radio. Bubba, who's next?
Next up, we have JR.
All right, JR, give me a hot take.
Hey, man, no hot take. Just want to ask him, boy, if he's happy with the Philly fans chanting that they want a piece of Houston as well. I'll leave it at that.
Okay, thank you. What did he say?
He said he wanted my take on the Philly fans chanting, "We want Houston," after the Phillies clinched the pennant yesterday.
What did you think of that?
Of course I liked it. I'm the one that sat here and said that the Yankees should want the Astros in order to exact revenge. The Astros are the best team. The Astros are the best team. The Phillies are going to have the opportunity to beat them 4 times in 7 games. Of course the Astros are favored, as well they should be. But what are you supposed to chant?
How about, please come back, Yankees? It's a stupid thing to say we want the better team. It is a stupid thing.
But look, at the time they were chanting this, it was obvious that's who you're going to be playing. Like, what do you want the Phillies fans to do? It's like they're all charged up running down Broad Street. Of course they're going to chant this.
No, you could have chanted almost anything else. Like, how happy am I?
Grease the poles.
Go
Grease
Bryce the poles. Yeah, chant anything
MV3.
You want.
MV3.
You don't have to chant, we want the Astros.
I think we're going to beat Houston.
Like, if you were a boxer back in his heyday, would you say, I want Mike Tyson? Or would you say, I want someone who doesn't hit nearly as hard as Mike Tyson does? Like, I'm enthusiastic, but I'm not an idiot. Let's do another one here.
Oh,
Bubba, who you got? Yeah, you're an idiot. I may say it. Go ahead, Bubs. Who
we
you got?
We got Gary.
All All right, Gary, you're on ESPN Radio. Gary, go.
Yeah, my hot take is, I'm from New Orleans, but my hot take is about LSU Tigers. I don't know if you're watching, buddy, but we've groomed a quarterback that I think is going to be fabulous, okay? And the team's coming together. We've only been playing seven games, and I think we're going to give Bama a run for their money in 2 weeks. What do you think?
I do, too. I think, look, here's the thing. Brian Kelly, there are so many things about him that people don't like over the course of time because he would yell like crazy at people on the sideline. People had a hard time with that because he's so combustible. He gets all red in the face and he was screaming and all that kind of stuff. And because he was the coach of Notre Dame, people were generally inclined to dislike him. And then he goes to LSU, gets the huge money, and immediately adopts a fake Southern accent. And that was very easy to make fun of. What is forgotten in all of that, he's an outstanding football coach. Outstanding. He did an outstanding job at Notre Dame, and he is going to do an outstanding job at LSU. Now, he took over at a place where it had become a mess, obviously, both on and off the field. So maybe it takes him a year or two, but he will have LSU in a place where they'll be competing with Bama. He will have that for sure. Whether they can do it in 2 weeks or not, that I can't tell you. But 2 years from now, when we talk about the big, big, big teams in college football, Brian will definitely have them as one of them.
Brian Kelly is not a good coach. Brian Kelly is a great coach. He's going to win way more games with LSU than Notre Dame is going to win this year without him. And this is a rebuild year for LSU. And like you said, Ed Orgeron left that program in shambles. For him to turn it around this fast is incredible. And I would not at all be surprised if they gave Alabama a handful next week.
Yeah. What was their record last year? I mean, they weren't. This wasn't a down year by a big program standards. They were awful.
They were 6-7. They already have 6 wins right now.
Yeah. So he's a great coach. So I agree with that. All right, Bubba, give me one more.
Let's go to Cam.
All right, Cam, give me a hot take. Your last up here. So you are a pressure hitter. Knock one out of the park for us. Cam, go.
I appreciate you guys having me on. Can we do me a favor, though? Can we knock Aaron Rodgers off his high horse? Can we finally put him in his perspective place that he's supposed to be in? That he's as great as a quarterback he is, he will never be in the likes of Tom Brady. Tom Brady has taken guys who you have never heard of at their skill position, and now you know their name, a la Julian Edelman, Amendola, guys like that. Aaron Rodgers, as great as a quarterback he is, he has lesser talent, and he is just not getting it done. There is no excuse, but he has the right to go up to the podium and act like he is just some philosopher that knows the game so well. But he still is not going out there and performing and putting up wins. And there is no excuse for having the number one receiver in the game on your squad, and then the next year you're at the podium saying detailed things are the reasons why we're losing the game. That's between you and the guys that you're playing with, that you're out there on the field, on the practice field with every day. You have the best receiver in the game. Now you're sitting at, 3-4?
Yeah.
And we don't even know if you're going to be in the playoffs.
It's a good
That's
call.
That's bad, and you're supposed to be a great quarterback.
All right, thank you for the call, and thank you for the hot take. Let's say this about Aaron. You lose the music there. That's a good one. Look, there's a lot to be said. Aaron Rodgers rubs a lot of people the wrong way. I'm not going to defend comments. I'm not going to defend body language. I'm not going to defend everything that he has ever said and done off the field, because there's a lot of it that I feel the same way you all do. Here's what I will say. You cannot question the play. Sports history are divided up into two separate kinds of all-time greats. The ones who were just the best and the ones who accomplished the most. So he's nowhere near the list of the ones who've accomplished the most. All right, so great quarterback play in pro football goes back to names like Sammy Baugh and Sid Luckman and Otto Graham and Bart Starr. But most people, I think, consider the modern era of pro football to be the Super Bowl era. And that kind of coincides with my lifetime. So I'll give you the rundown. In my lifetime, there's a handful of quarterbacks who have accomplished far more than he did. The obvious ones being Tom Brady and Joe Montana. But there were plenty of others as well who accomplished more than Aaron Rodgers did. But what I will say, and those include John Elway and Roger Staubach and Troy Aikman and others. But as far as just the best, if you ask me who were just the best quarterbacks you saw, not the greatest, not the ones who accomplished the most, but the best, I'm not sure the first two names I wouldn't come to are two guys that did not accomplish anywhere near the most. And that is, in either order, Aaron Rodgers and Dan Marino. Like, those, no one was better than those two guys. No, there was no one ever played the position of quarterback better. They just didn't do all the things that you do, and they didn't win, and some of that is their fault, and some of it is not. But those two guys were as good as anybody. Now, we have a new generation of player here that is doing stuff that those guys couldn't have ever imagined. So guys like Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen, they may obliterate the best stuff. They may become the boat, and there's nothing to even talk about. But Rodgers is that good. Like, I'm not in any way going to take anything away from Rodgers as a football player, and I think it would be short-sighted to do so. Do you sometimes not love all the things he does and says and the way he leads? Yeah. I also do not think he has been blessed. One of the biggest differences between Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers is named Bill Belichick. Mm. It's become kind of fashionable to dump on Belichick. Oh, by the way, look at them right now. They don't look so bad. They're going to blow the doors off the Bears tonight. They're going to be 4-3. They're going to be right in the middle of it all. So I'm not – Bill Belichick is the best coach ever. Yes, he had Tom Brady, but Brady also had Belichick. So if Aaron Rodgers had played for Bill Belichick, we might be having a little different conversation about him.
Yeah, body of work aside, though, let's just look at the 2022 Packers and nothing aside from the 2022 Packers.
Yeah.
Where in the distribution of blame pie would you put Aaron Rodgers himself? Aaron Rodgers' numbers right now are just not good. How much of that do you put on him, and how much of that do you put on other people?
I put the biggest part of it on him because I think his indecision is the reason Devontae Adams isn't there, and that's the single biggest factor. And look, I think Aaron Rodgers wanted to leave. He probably should have left. And I think in some moment of inspiration that he gets from places that I don't fully understand, something in him said that the idea, the romantic idea of finishing his career and playing it all for one franchise, which is such a rarity in sports anymore, that that appealed to him. You know, the Kobe Bryant, Derek Jeter, you know, there's not that many of those guys. Hey, Tom Brady finishing in someplace else. Michael Jordan finished someplace else. Brett Favre, his predecessor, finished someplace else. For whatever reason, I think that idea grew on him. But that was an idea that should have grown on him sooner than it did. Hmm. Because I think his lack of recommitting to them as quickly as he could have screwed up a lot of things there. And I think the last few years took their toll on Devontae Adams, and he wanted out. And I think that's what's killing him and them. I think that is killing Rodgers and is killing the Packers. Okay, so I didn't have time for Nuno's notes, which is a shame because some of them are always a lot of fun. I do want to finish again with tonight's game. Patriots. What was my record, by the way, last Friday? My picks, I'm pitting against myself.
You went 2-1. You ended up losing the Colts-Titans game.
So once again, I'm picking against myself. So my gut feeling on that game was Titans. So I bet Colts, and it wound up being Titans. But the other ones, my gut feeling was San Francisco. Kansas City killed them. And what was the third one? Seattle?
Seattle Chargers. Yep, you win Seattle plus 5.5.
All right, so the Patriots, what's the Patriots number tonight?
It's down to 8. Patriots minus 8.
See, I think the Patriots are going to win this game by 50 points, which tells me you should take the Bears plus the 8. The official pick is Bears plus 8.
Hashtag KOD. The kiss of death.
Because what Bill Belichick has always historically done to inexperienced quarterbacks is extraordinary, and what the Bears have going with their offense right now is not good. So I think I can't fathom a world in which this game is not a 3-touchdown finish at minimum. So jump on the Bears with both feet, and we'll see you back in Better Than Ever tomorrow on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Greeny, the podcast. You can listen live each weekday morning at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio. Or watch the show through the Watch tab on the ESPN app. Also catch Greeny on Get Up, weekday mornings at 8 on ESPN. And also available wherever you get your podcasts.